Broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. The Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Previously recorded with Mark as the host of The Mark Kohler Show.
Enjoy this fresh take on strategies to better live the American dream.
Welcome everyone. Sorry for the technical difficulties there. I thought we'd start it there, but let me go ahead and get started today. My name's Matt Sorensen. I'm going to be hosting today here on the Mark Kohler Show. And what I want to do today is go over a number of items that are coming up in terms of presentations and webinars. There's a lot going on from our office in terms of speaking and information we're trying to get out. We have a lot of articles going out also right now in our newsletter. We're going to highlight some of those today. And we'll also have some of our usual legal and tax tips today taking place as well. One thing I just wanted to also highlight and is our guest that's going to be here, our special guest, which is Jonathan D. Kobielus. He is the author of the book Unlimited Influence. We'll be talking about how to influence others, sales practices, and really just influencing others, which has many different aspects to it, not just business, but our personal relationships as well. So I'm excited to hear his insights on that, and we'll be getting that towards that to the bottom of the hour. All right, well, let me just go through a number of items that we have in the newsletter today. So if you want to reference some of these, I'm just going to let you know they're in the newsletter, so you can go there for more details. But we do have a lot of upcoming events that you may want to attend or try and get information about. This Friday, I'm going to be doing a webinar with Advisors for Advisors titled What Every Advisor Needs to Know About Self-Directed IRAs. And that is primarily geared to financial advisors. There's a link in the newsletter if you want to get more details for it or sign up. You have to become a member of Advisors for Advisors to attend, but you do become eligible for continuing education credit for various financial designations. But that's going to be an excellent webinar, really geared toward helping financial advisors understand self-directed IRAs so they can help advise clients. The other item is that's also coming up is June 22nd. This is Tuesday. Mark will be in Salt Lake City doing a tax and legal strategies presentation with the Board of Realtors there. It's actually sponsored by Keller Williams, and there's a link there also to register to go attend that class. And then we have other classes coming up in August that Mark will be doing on bookkeeping basics and also on tax and legal strategies, again, back in Salt Lake City. So a lot of events coming up through here at the end of the summer and beginning of fall. If you want to get out and see us live in any of these places, please check out the newsletter for some of those upcoming events. All right. Now, one thing I just want to highlight here is in the newsletter, there's a number of articles. We're going to talk about a couple of them today and some of the tips possibly. And I do have some of our tipsters on the line here. I'm going to get to them in just a moment. But if you're not registered for the newsletter, make sure you do go to the website. You can get there at kqslawyers.com and register for the newsletter. Mark and I both put a lot of time into creating excellent articles and videos that are applicable to your business, and we're coming up with new topics that we really feel are applicable for clients to learn about how to protect their assets, avoid taxes, and keep their estate. So check out the newsletter and make sure you're registered for that. All right, well, let's start off with some of the tax tips today, and let's actually go to Chet first here. Chet's one of the accountants in the CPA firm Kohler & CPAs. Works with a lot of Mark's clients. And Chet, what are you there?
Matt, can you hear me?
Let me bring you on here, Chip. Yep, I can hear you.
Great.
All right,
great.
Well,
how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for being on today to give a tip. I'm, you know, the substitute teacher today hosting the show, which is, you know, I know everybody loves when the subs here, but what do you got for us today as a tip?
Well, today I wanted to go over a tax tip here that's actually fairly easy and pretty much anybody can do. And it's really as simple as opening your mail. I had a client the other day come in, and heck, they had just a handful of IRS correspondence that they just hadn't had the time or the gall to open it up. And it actually was past the point that they could even respond to the letter. So basically, by doing that, they pretty much lost any type of, you know, bargaining chip they could do with the IRS. Pretty much what the IRS had done is rule in the IRS's favor, levied their account, and then the taxpayer sat there wondering exactly what happened. And at that point, it was over and done with. You know, so basically ignoring the problem, it doesn't necessarily make it go away. Ignoring it is basically the simple worst thing that you can do when it comes to receiving some sort of tax notice from either the IRS or the state.
Well, you know, it's not the funnest thing to open anything from the IRS. I know some clients do look for checks, and those are always nice to get, but those seem to be more rare.
Yeah. It does happen, though.
But yeah, that's true. That is true. But yeah, you know, I see that a lot. You know, one thing I see is, because I've represented clients before the IRS and even in tax court, is a lot of cases get worked out. And
sure.
Most of the time, someone who's failed to file returns or properly report something, the IRS takes worst case scenario and charges the max tax they can figure. And it's up to you to state otherwise. And if you're getting notices in the mail with the amounts due and you just kind of stick your head in the sand, you know, don't think that you're helping yourself. I think that's a good tip. But you're really digging yourself into a deeper hole and taking away your own right and opportunity to present expenses or to contest what the IRS is alleging or to even work out an agreement to pay it back. You know,
yep.
Rather than have the money go zapped out of your bank account or find a tax lien somewhere out there against you, which affects your credit, you know, go and talk to the IRS. You can work out other issues, installment agreements. There's certain things you can do to try and work out a reasonable payment plan if you have a financial issue that's causing you from actually paying that tax. You're better off making a plan now than sticking your head in the sand. And even if you make a plan and fail, frankly, you're better off than doing nothing.
Absolutely. You know, sometimes the notice is just simply a notice of adjustment. Sometimes they just want to verify a Social Security number. You know, in some instances, they send an amount due. But, you know, again, the IRS isn't going to levy your account without giving you good notice. So when you receive that, you know, if you don't want to be the one that's opening it, or when you do open it and you don't understand it, you know, it's important to have a good tax guy on your side to look at it and interpret what that information is and kind of give you the best course of action to move forward.
Now, what are some of the basic rules on, you may be aware of these, Chet, so I'm putting you on the spot, but what are some of the basic rules in terms of, you know, notice time periods and how much time you typically have to respond when the IRS sends you something like a notice to levy? Are you familiar with much with how much time you're going to have? I mean, it's typically going to be stated in the notice. But
yeah, it's always going to be stated in the notice. A lot of times, you know, in some instances, those notices come, they're computer generated. So a lot of times if you receive a second notice and you've already taken care of the first, a lot of times that's just mail gap. And so, you know, you need to pay attention there. They usually give you a good fair amount of time to get in touch with them. And it doesn't ever get to the point of levying your account unless you're actively ignoring them. You know, if you're not signing for the certified letters, if you're just basically sweeping it under the rug and hoping that it'll go away, well, chances are that it's not going to.
Yeah. All right. Any final thoughts, Chet?
Not other than, like I said, if you open the notice and you don't know how to interpret what it is that they're saying, certainly get in touch with our office. We have a lot of tax professionals here that look at those notices regularly. It just may be as simple as sending in a letter or giving them a quick call. IRS agents are people, too. They're not necessarily out there to make your life miserable. So they're definitely out there to help.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for coming on, Chet. I appreciate it. I love the tip. Open your mail. And you can contact Cole and Aaron, contact Chet at the number 435-865-5866. So if you do have one of those notices you've been delaying opening, just go open it now and call Chet, and he'll tell you what to do, right?
That's it. Thanks, Matt.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks, Chet.
Bye.
All right. Well, let's jump over to our legal tip. We're doing tax first and legal second today. So let me bring on Kevin Kennedy on the line. Kevin's a new attorney in our office. He's been an attorney for a couple years now, but new to our office and works here in the Phoenix office with me. It's nice to have another attorney here in Phoenix. We're trying to grow the office. Kevin, you there?
Matt.
Welcome to the show, Kevin. This is first-time caller?
Yes, first time.
First-time caller, long-time listener, I'm sure.
Yeah.
All right, well, what do you got for us today as a legal tip?
All right, so last week in our newsletter, we had an article that attempted to answer the question of whether your 401k LLC can be exempt from California's dreaded annual $800 minimum franchise tax. So I wanted to touch on that again and kind of reiterate that as my legal tip here today.
Yes, and I love that article. This is something that I can't tell you how many high fives I've got from clients when I tell them about this. It's a pretty cool little thing here. Now, it doesn't apply to everybody. So let's narrow this down here. So give us an idea. Who's this going to apply to? Everybody wants to avoid paying $800 each year for their business entity to the state of California. But let's narrow this down here. Who's this going to apply to?
Right. Unfortunately, it doesn't apply to everybody. There are a few requirements. So the first requirement, number one, is that the LLC must be entirely owned of what's called qualified retirement plans. So this would include your 401k, but as an example of what would not be included there would be your IRA, your self-directed IRA. So only qualified retirement plans can be members of the LLC, and that's requirement number one.
Okay, and so the most common one we run across is clients that have maybe what they'll call a solo 401k or owner-only 401k, and that owns an LLC in California. That's very common. We'll see clients do that for real estate investments and other purposes. But the IRLC does not count here. Even a SEP IRA, and this is something I had a client actually try to get the SEP IRA to count here, and they were arguing that a SEP IRA is kind of similar to a 401k or some type of qualified plan since it's more employer-based, even though it's an IRA, and the Franchise Tax Board shut the SEP IRA down. So all types of IRAs outside of it, but 401ks, qualified plans that are what are called employer-based, are going to qualify here. So requirement number one must be a qualified retirement plan, which is really employer-based, such as a 401k. So what else do we have to have to comply with this exception here into the $800?
All right, so number two, the LLC must be exclusively in the business of buying and holding real estate. So for some of our clients who like to use their retirement funds for investing in private companies or precious metals, they would not be able to fall within this exemption.
Okay, and on the real estate, is there any, it could be any type of real estate. There's no distinction on type. Commercial, residential, long-term hold, short-term hold, is there?
It's somewhat vague. It just says you have to be in the exclusive business of acquiring and holding real estate, and that all income is distributed to the retirement plan. So it doesn't really talk about ordinary income, passive income, commercial, residential. So somewhat
all
vague.
Right. So presumably it's broad enough. I mean, the vagueness, I guess, is a good thing, right?
Yeah, that's what we're thinking. And number three is the kicker here. So even if you meet those two main requirements, there's a couple other small requirements, but even if you meet all those, the exemption does not apply until you have actually applied for and receive a favorable determination exemption letter back from the California Franchise and Tax Board. So you would do that by filing it's a Form 3500. You have to apply, but once you have that back, then you're good to go.
Okay, yeah, so that's an important point. So it's not like you can say, I'm exempt, so I'm just not going to send them any money. Keep in mind, the state of California has your LLC on their radar here, so they're going to be sending you a bill. So what you'll need to do is complete that form, and that form number is in the newsletter article. It's on my blog. Kevin and I co-authored that blog article last week. You can get it through the law firm's website, kqslawyers.com, or my website, sdirahandbook.com. And that that has the actual form number. What was the form number again?
3500.
Okay. I've kind of gone through that form. You know, it's essentially a fill-in-the-blank form. You'll have to make sure you check the right boxes here, and you'll need to provide supporting documentation, which would be some of your plan documents for the 401k, and maybe showing that it's owning real estate to substantiate the form. But just keep in mind, don't wait for California to send you a bill for $800. You can start making that application for exemption now, and there's just a form you fill out for, and you'll provide some supporting documentation. And we can help if needed on making that exemption request. And the nice thing is, once you've got it, you're in the clear. The state of California, we haven't gone down the road too far with this. I don't know if they're requiring annual updates or not as to the LLC, but presumably, you know, you may have to provide additional information later on over the years. But once you have the exemption, then you're off the hook on the $800. So what can you just reiterate those 3 points here so people know when they're going to qualify here? What are the three things they got to know?
Absolutely, yeah. So this isn't for everybody, but it's great for those that it applies to. It's you've got to have, as your members of the LLC, qualified retirement plans, which would be your solo owner only 401k, your employer-based type retirement plans. Wouldn't be the self-directed IRA type. Number two, your LLC, your 401k LLC, needs to be in the business exclusively of buying and holding real estate. That's broad, so that's good. That's in our favor. And then number three, most importantly, even if you meet those two main criteria, as well as some other minor requirements that are involved, you have to and you must apply for this exemption determination letter before you are in the clear. So those are the big three tips or requirements to keep in mind.
All right, cool. Now, if any of you have any additional questions about this or anything else you might need Kevin for, you can reach him at he's in the Phoenix office, which the number there is 602-761-9798. You can call the regular numbers too. We're all on the same phone system, but that is the local Phoenix number. And Kevin, what's your email?
Kevin@kkoslawyers.com.
All right, okay. Well, thanks, Kevin. Appreciate you coming on. And again, more details for those this applies to. This is a very important tip. It's a great way to save yourself $800 each year. We do have lots of clients in this situation. I wish it would apply to all of our IRA LLC clients. Believe me, if we thought there was a way, we would try and find it. But we've looked it up and down and even had clients try and fail. So unfortunately, it's not going to apply to IRAs. The Franchise Tax Board has been clear about that, at least on the prior cases. We've had clients that have tried to stretch this exemption to apply to IRAs. All right. Well, let me just go over a couple items here, and we'll bring on our guest today. But Mark will be back next week, and again, he is off at Scout Camp, being the good Scoutmaster he is, and influencing the next generation, hopefully keeping kids from burning the place down or getting into other mishaps that can happen at Scout Camp. As a former Scout, I've been to Scout Camp, and I know the stuff that goes on there. Actually, you know what? I've actually been to Scout Camp with Mark Kohler, which was quite a trip. But he will be back next week. So stay tuned for announcements on next week's show through the newsletter. And let me jump over here, and we'll let me introduce our guest for the show, and we'll bring him on here in just a moment. And this our guest today is Jonathan DeColibus. I may be totally messing up the name here. I apologize. But he is the author of the book, Unlimited Influence, and does a lot of training. Has been featured on major television networks and has done public speaking at significantly large companies. Jonathan, are you here?
I'm here, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for being on the show today. We appreciate it. Well, let me just dive in here. I've kind of been through some of the info about you and your book, and why don't you tell us some of your background and kind of how you got into this industry and speaking, and maybe give us a little background about your book as well.
Sure. Well, first off, I just want to just say thanks for having me on today, and you did a fantastic job on my last name, actually. Most people do have a hard time pronouncing it, so you did a great job there. I mean, basically, you know, my roots, you know, kind of where I've come from is, you know, really a small town in California. You know, about 1,000 people, that's where I was born. That's kind of where I grew up. And I was actually raised on a farm. And for me, you know, up until the age of about, you know, 14 or 15, I was just kind of in that world. And I remember there was one day distinctly that when I turned 15, and I was looking at a magazine or something, and I saw this guy who was featured in the magazine. I don't know if it was like a, you know, Forbes magazine or something of that nature, but there was this guy there. He looked so happy, and he was, you know, building his business, and there was an article about his wealth and all these things that he's done.
Yeah.
And I went in to the nearest mirror, and I looked at myself in the eyes, and I recall this moment like it was yesterday, and I just looked at myself, and I said, you know, I'm going to create wealth for myself, and I'm going to find a way to do that. And so that's just kind of where I started from. I mean, you know, of course, I could talk to you about my one-hit wonders and my Superman stories and make me look like I'm a genius. But in reality, that's where I've, you know, that's my roots. That's where I've come from. And, you know, so I started a string of companies after that. And, you know, I used what I call my reverse rocket launch strategy, where I basically launched them deeply into the ground successfully. And so, you know, they weren't quite as successful as I would have wanted to. And that's when I came across a couple of mentors, and you know, they basically talked to me, and they said, you know, the reason why you're not being successful in your endeavors, you know, is because you don't know how to sell. And you know, because the very first, you know, venture that I'd started was, of course, as we've all done, is this, you know, are like a little mini landscape company where you go talk to three or four of your neighbors and you've got this little business going. I thought, no, man, you know, if anybody knows how to sell, you know, it's me, the door-to-door guy. I mean, I sold to Mrs. Jones, I sold to Mrs. Smith, our neighbors, and man,
right.
I sold them good, you know, and so that's where I was coming from. But, you know, it doesn't work so well when you're working in the, you know, bigger industries or industries even such as yours, where you're dealing with people's livelihood and you're dealing with, you know, financial kingdom that people have built up, you know, their whole life for. So, you know, so that's basically where my transition happened is I met these mentors, and, you know, I ended up paying them quite a bit of money, and I ended up studying under them and, you know, reading the books, the DVDs, going to the courses, and, you know, it just became my obsession. Became sales because of the importance that I saw on it, you know, as the core of all business, you know, of it really truly being, you know, the make it or break it of business. And so that's, you know,
right.
That's kind of my story. That's where I've come from. And, you know, that's kind of the transformation that I had. And, you know, my passion right now is, you know, to pass that along and to, you know, to really stir up that sales, you know, passion inside of companies, because there's so many companies, and honestly, it pains me when I see it. You know, guys who've got great ideas, great products, great services, you know, great ideas for investing or whatnot, but it stays right there. It stays, you know, at level one when they have so much more potential, and the only thing that's really holding them back is their ability to build value in the eyes of others.
Yeah. You know, I think sales is critical. I mean, obviously, a lot of our clients are entrepreneurs, small business owners, investors, and I mean, they're out having to cut deals, make investments, deal with customers. I mean, everybody's in this competitive marketplace, and those who can sell really separate themselves from others. And it's interesting, just even in my own legal profession, you know, you can be the best lawyer in the world and be broke because you can't sell yourself. And you can be the worst lawyer in the world and be very successful because you're good at marketing, you're good at sales, and you know how to get clients. And it's really weird that's how it works out. But so obviously having a great product or a great service is very key. But if you can't sell anybody and you can't get the clients to use it, you know, you're going to have a hard time succeeding in the business world. But let's jump over to your book, if you don't mind.
Sure.
One of the things in your book, you talk about influences procreation, and nothing happens until you influence someone else. That was a pretty good idea, but maybe you could elaborate that on that and how it applies in the business context.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, first off, I would say that is, to me, that's one of the most important factors of, you know, of business. I see business, you know, primarily as, you know, as an art, you know, and one of the things that a lot of artists do really well is they can create, you know, and a lot of my clients, they've experienced the same thing where they've, you know, like you just covered a few minutes ago, where they do have that great product. You know, they do have that great service. They, you know, they know they're the best lawyer. You know, they know that they're the best in the industry, but they know that they're not getting paid as if they were, you know. And so, you know, that's kind of the creation side of things. You know, there's an excellent book by Stephen Pressfield called The War of Art. And he talks about, you know, this resistance that people have to create. But, you know, once you do create something, then what? And so that's what I call procreation. And I think what influence does is it allows you to take your ideas and spread it around and, you know, let it be accepted and enjoyed by other people. You know, I mean, just imagine if, you know, I was just in Europe doing a tour there, and I was with, I was in a city called Malaga in Spain. And yeah, that's reportedly the city where Picasso was born. And so I was able to visit, you know, kind of the main birthplace there and his museum that he's got there. And it just occurred to me as I was walking through there and I saw all this beautiful art, just, you know, it's so amazing. You know, what if he would have just kept it to himself, you know? What if he would have just, you know, said, hey, this is, some paintings that I'm doing, and yeah, sure, it's great art. My friends like it. My mom likes it, but that's it. You know, that's just kind of there. You know, so that's, you know, that's really where I, you know, that's why I believe in procreation so much and influence so much, is because of, you know, I see most entrepreneurs as artists, and I love to see an artist succeed. There's that kind of a stereotype of that, you know, starving artist or, you know, starving entrepreneur, but I think it doesn't have to be that way. You know, I think that's something that, you know, we're just one skill away from, you know, from getting our ideas out there and getting our ideas accepted. Most people are not even that far away from, you know, hitting a very, very high level of success in that area.
Yeah, you know, I even think just in our personal relationships and, you know, just being the type of person you want to be, obviously, is you can have the best idea in the world, and until you learn how to influence others, and which is hard to do, I think, you know, and this could be anything we're talking about here. This could be selling a good or service that people need and are going to truly value, or this could be, you know, something that's going to make the world a better place. I don't care what it is. But I think this is a really important point, that if we don't know how to communicate that and really, I guess, sell it, could be the word, it's not going to influence anybody. It's not going to change anybody's life. And so what do people got to do, though? I mean, what is the, I don't know, the special sauce? Or, I mean, what are you teaching your clients, and maybe some quick tips on how would it be better at influencing others, which turns out to being better at sales and really communicating your ideas and sharing, I guess, your business, your services, and things you want to accomplish in the world. So, I mean, that's really a full-spectrum question, but what are some of the key things, I guess, you're using to help people in this regard?
Absolutely, and that's a fantastic question, and I think if more entrepreneurs were asking that question even to themselves, the answers might pop up. But I would say the most important thing, you know, that I've done with my clients, you know, the most life-changing difference is that we focus on, you know, making a transition from, you know, giving people facts and details and, you know, a lot, you know, things that activate kind of the logical side of the mind. And we focus more on the, you know, activating the emotions first, you know, and really realizing, you know, that we're working with a human being. You know, it doesn't matter if we're writing, you know, a copy for ad that's going to be in front of, you know, 10,000 people or 10 million people or one person. It's still going to be experienced by humans. So that's what we first do is we bring back kind of that human touch. The, you know, this person has a heart, you know, that's pumping blood right now, and they're blinking, and they're alive, and they're there, and they have emotions, they have feelings, they have worries, they have fears, and they have joys, they have hopes, they have things that they're looking forward to, they have things that they truly, truly, truly want in life. And so really kind of taking the focus even more off of, you know, our product and how amazing we are, how amazing our product is, and what we can do for them, you know, more or less just focusing on the emotional connection first, because, you know, that builds that trust, and that builds the authority as well, I think, to, you know, that gives us the ability to then, you know, then talk about, you know, what our recommendations are for further action. You know, and I think one of the biggest things that, you know, a lot of my clients, even seasoned entrepreneurs, I mean, I'm not even talking about the guy who's just starting his brand new LLC, you know, last week, and he's getting all excited. I'm talking about guys who've been in the industry of business for the past 30 years. You know, they can make a small distinction, and they can, you know, jump to that next level just by, you know, focusing more on the emotional connection. Because
how do you, you know, a lot of our business interactions, I was just thinking about even just this, an easy example here. I have a rental property, you know, and I'm showing it to a tenant, and I'm trying to sell the tenant on the rental property, you know. And, I mean, but this is going to be someone's home, you know. I mean, they want to really feel like this is a comfortable place, and they want to feel like home. And but how do you connect with someone on that in that emotional state quickly? You know, a lot of times we don't have much opportunity to build a relationship, and a lot of customers, prospective clients, whoever it may be, you know, that we're trying to influence, they maybe, you know, want to cut to the chase, or they want to talk back.
Sure.
I mean, but how do you quickly build this emotional relationship first, or try and establish that?
Sure. That's, I would say that is one of the most powerful aspects of this is that there's a myth that it takes a long time. You know, and one of the most amazing experiences that I had in this respect was one time I was doing a BMX course up in Montana. I'm originally from California, but I was up there, and I was jumping, and I did a fall, and I got hurt extremely bad, and I was taken to the hospital, and you know, I had a concussion and a bunch of different things there. But the thing that really amazed me is that the doctors at this particular hospital, and I'm sure it's not just at this only one hospital, but this is the one that I experienced, you know, yes, they had a lot of, you know, facts and a lot of logical things that they had to take me through, but they took 2 seconds to reassure me. Just that one deep look in the eye and just saying, Jonathan, you're going to be all right. We're going to get you out of this now. I just got to check on this, this, and this, and this. You know, and it was just that you know, that moment when I saw this guy, he had these wonderful dark brown eyes, and he looked at me, and he said, Jonathan, it's going to be all right. Hang on tight. Mm-hmm. I know you're in pain. And sometimes as people, I don't think people want us to be sitting there and, you know, quote unquote, whining and dining them for hours. I think what people really want is just that acknowledgement that takes, you know, one or two, even sometimes seconds. You know, sometimes it's just a wink. Sometimes it's touching somebody on the shoulder and saying, wow, that's fantastic. You know, or just really truly acknowledging them as a human. And then just keeping in mind, I think sometimes it's not even what we say at a conscious, you know, conscious level, but I think it's what we communicate on a subconscious level, you know, with our voice tonality, with the way that we're, you know, treating them, with how we, you know, with how we even ask them questions sometimes, you know, it just, I think everything changes when we focus on the emotional aspect of who they are first and speaking to that part first.
Okay. Once you've kind of made this emotional connection, what are other things you should be looking at? I know you talk a little about trust in your book as well, but what other things should people be looking as they're obviously going to influence someone? Where do we go next after building an emotional connection?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'd say the number one reason people don't sell as much as they deserve to sell or as much as they want to sell is because they're using their own reasons to sell, not the reasons of the prospect. So yeah. I would say, you know, that is primarily why we're, you know, connecting with them is to serve them the most. But we can't serve them the most if we're not going to use their reasons, you know, to influence them. I mean, because, yeah, sure, you know, if I use my reasons, I influence people who are just like me, you know, but what if they're not just like, you know, what if they're different than I am? You know, I'm kind of an intense guy, I talk fast, but what if these guys, you know, what if, you know, their reason to get this rental home is that, you know, they want to be closer to their parents, you know, because their parents are, you know, kind of, you know, not doing so well health-wise, and they don't have time to buy a home, you know? If I understand that one fact, that is enough reason that I can use that to say, you know, well, the location here, you know, well, where do they live? And then I can use that. Maybe I can help them find a place that's even better, that's closer to where their parents are at. You know, but again, a lot of people miss out on that huge, huge, huge benefit just by saying, hey, guys, you know, this is our, you know, new rental here, you know, 3-bedroom, 2-bath. You got a pool in the back, blah, 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 you know, AAC, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And they start talking, oh, just facts, 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 you know, instead of actually, you know, finding out why, you know, why is this person doing this? Because we all have a reason to act. We all have a reason to act. And if we can understand what person in front of us is thinking, you know, then we can, you know, use that in our conversation to influence them.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great point. I think a lot of times we learn a lot of important insights, and the more information you have, the better you can target the conversation so that you can can move someone to kind of, you know, buying whatever it is you're selling, or, you know, committing to a service or whatever the product may be. But you know, I fall into that myself. I start selling it in the way I think it matters, you know, and this could be anything. This could be, I mean, going out on a date with my wife, you know, I'm selling her on where I want to go because this is the restaurant I like. This is why I like it, instead of why does she like it? But I've caught myself, you know, having to change my ways there. But all right, well, you know, one thing I think about a lot is that topic, actually, of trying to understand what the person on the other side of the conversation is really looking for. And sometimes it's hard to draw out from people, though. I mean, how do you try and draw that out? I mean, you know, I think you can let them do more talking. I mean, I try and ask open-ended questions and just get people talking in all aspects of whatever I may be trying to sell. But, I mean, what are ways to try and draw that information out so that you have that info to then use to, you know, really help them connect with whatever it is you're trying to sell?
Sure. And the biggest factor to this that I found is being, being open and just being direct. Because a lot of times when people understand, okay, great, so I've got to use their reasons, then it turns into kind of a chess game where it's like, okay, if I move here, they move here, then boom, then they will tell me this thing. Well, it works better sometimes if we just ask them directly, you know, because it creates an environment of being completely, you know, just being completely and totally open. So I would, you know, first off, you know, what I like to do is just be clear on, you know, what exactly are we trying to understand from them? You know, so if, like you said, this one example, you know, this rental place, I would just go in there with the perspective of, you know, what are we trying to understand, you know, as their reason to move here is, you know, and then we can just ask them directly. But again, I think asking people can, you know, asking is also an art, as much as it is a science. And I think the art of asking, you know, really comes down to vulnerability on the side of the asker. Because, you know, I think we all reciprocate. You know, there's some people that if they ask me, you know, what brand of underwear do I wear, you know, I'll probably tell them, you know, but somebody else, you know, who asked me, I probably won't tell, just because with this first person, they're a bit more vulnerable themselves. And so, you know, that there's that famous, you know, quote unquote law of reciprocity. It just kind of, you know, invokes that within them to be more vulnerable with you. And that is one of the big, you know, big areas as well, is just, you know, kind of taking like a lighthearted, more vulnerable approach to these questions versus making it more of this, you know, hey, this is an interview and the tonality and, you know, that kind of a thing. So why do you guys want to move here and everything, you know? So that's what I found personally to be, you know, to be big is, you know, number one is, you know, to bring that vulnerability to the picture, to be open, and then also just ask them directly exactly what it is that you're looking for. And be specific. People like it when you're precise with the questions that you're asking. You know, so
right.
You know, why not? Why not ask some, you know, precise questions?
Sure. Yeah. You know, I sometimes even I think I go into a retail store, for example, and they're like, "Hey, can I help you?" Thing. I'm like, "No, I'm just looking around." You know, it's like I don't want to. Just let me kind of wander in here. I'll try and find my own way. And I might not find what I was actually really looking for because I was like just zoned out and do my own thing. But certain people can ask it in a way, and it's like, okay, yeah, you know, they can ask you a question and try and follow up on that, and it really helps, I think, then have more of an opportunity to talk to me and then help me find really what it is I'm looking for. And that's, I think sometimes people give up too, you know, they'll give up and say, what are you looking for? And someone says, "Oh, I'm on, you know, don't worry about it," and they just give up and let you kind of go on your way. But all right. Now, what else in your book? I mean, you talk about influencing other people, and you also talk about having a positive, creating positivity, and having a positive personality. What is that? Maybe give me an insights on that in terms of making me a better salesperson, helping me influence other people. Sure. What does having a positive attitude do?
Yeah, I mean, it's for me, it's everything. And I'll tell you why it's everything is because I've walked into some companies, and honestly, I've trained salespeople from my own companies in the past. And I've had guys, you know, work for me who, you know, during the interview, they've said, "Man, I've closed, you know, let's say a $4 million, $5 million deal last year with Starbucks. I'm the man for the job. You know, I have what it takes to sell for you." And then I've had, you know, somebody else come in there and they're like, "You know what? I'm hungry. I've got two kids and I've got to perform for you. Otherwise, they're not going to be doing good as far as their food goes." And so, you know, I think, you know, it really is not so much sales to me is not so much about, you know, what you've done in the past. To me, it's more about, you know, what's motivating you right now. And, you know, is your attitude reflecting that? So that's why I think, you know, the positivity plays a huge role into this whole picture. Even going back to what you were saying a minute ago about the retail store, because, you know, I'll be honest, man, I've walked into some stores and I was recently out there shopping with my girlfriend when I was in Europe, and we walked into this one place, and honestly, I was beat. I was tired. We'd been to about 350 odd stores or something crazy like that over the period of about 3 hours, you know, and I was beat. I was tired. I didn't want to see another store, but I walked into one more store. I grinned. I was like, okay, let's do this. And as soon as I walked in, and it was a retail place, you know, they sell, you know, women's purses, I think is what it was. And, this gentleman walks up to me and he's literally beaming ear to ear. And I swear to God, I thought I knew who he was just because of his attitude, you know, and he goes, hey, my friend, he goes, come in. He goes, take a seat. He goes, I'll show your girlfriend this and this. And he starts going, and honestly, just the attitude that he had, it put me instantly at ease. Obviously, my mm-hmm. girlfriend got twice as excited about twice as many things. And, you know, thirdly, is he truly, you know, he could have really asked me anything at that point. He could have said, hey, so what are you doing here? But just because he connected emotionally before he asked that question, and he brought that positivity to the table and that charisma, you know, and that confidence to the whole picture, it really made me feel like I'm doing the right thing being here, and I'm doing the right thing by opening up and, you know, talking to this guy. I'm doing the right thing by giving this small boutique a lot of business, you know. And yeah. So that's, you know, that's a real big factor for me, is positivity. And I think, you know, we all start out, you know, the marathon. I ran the LA marathon a couple of years ago, and you know, I think we all start out that marathon with a lot of juice and a lot of positivity, and we're all like, heck yeah, we're gonna finish this thing, you know, 26 sure. miles, no problem, we got this, you know. But then mile three comes, and you know, people start frowning, and there's that, you know, okay, I'm gonna stop and get some Gatorade from these guys who are handing out Gatorade kind of thing. And you know, I think it's the same way in business. You know, we all start out, you know, we're all pretty much excitable. We're all pretty much happy, you know, to start, you know, a new job, a new position, a new sales job, a new company, you know. But it's what we do, you know, after that mile three hits in, you know, I think that really does, you know, determine our long-term success. And that's why I wrote my book, because, you know, again, most of my clients, yeah, you know, they're not the guy who's just started last week, you know. And it's been a, you know, the feedback that I've had from my book and from my clients has been, you know, thanks for the refresher. You know, it's not like I'm not like teaching people anything new in this thing. I'm just saying, hey, you know, let's go back to the basics. You know, let's not complicate, you know, this whole process of influence and sales, you know, as much as it really needs to be. And let's keep it, you know, let's keep it basic. It's about, you know, being positive and about, you know, emotionally connecting with people and giving them what they're really looking for.
Yeah. All right. Now, if anyone has any questions for Jonathan, you can call in on the guest call-in line. That's 646-200-4285, 646-200-4285. You can also add in comments into the chat line, and I will read those off if you'd rather just enter in comments into the chat line. Jonathan, just as we're getting towards the end here, what is, you know, someone who's out there in a sales environment, a business owner, I mean, what are the key things they need to be doing now? I mean, just in terms of, I don't want to say action items, but maybe some parting, you know, words of advice for someone that's going to really make a difference in how they run their business and their success in sales. What are some of your key final points you'd want to leave here?
Sure. Well, first off, I'd say is, you know, get to a point in your business where you can, you know, make it a high priority to where you're either prospecting a lot, if that's what your business is, or to where you have a lot of hot leads, you know, in your pipeline. Because, you know, you can have all the greatest sales skills in the world, but if you're not, you know, able to use them, it's not going to pay off. So I'd say that's, you know, that's kind of the prerequisite, I'd say, is, you know, make sure that you are prospecting or that you have a lot of leads, you know, that are coming in contact with your business. That's key. But apart okay. from that, I would say just, you know, every single day get clear on, you know, two things that I always like to point out. Number one is get clear on why you're doing this business. Why are you selling this product? You know, that's why, you know, a lot of people who are first starting out, they can really influence like crazy. And then they wonder why it kind of dips down, because they forget why they're in the game, you know? I just recently talked with one of my clients just a few weeks ago, and he was telling me, he goes, you know, he's a coach, and he goes, you know, I can't believe it. He goes, I forgot why I was in the game. He goes, and now that I'm connected to my purpose, my macro purpose, why am I here? Why is it this industry? You know, why am I playing this game? You know, what difference am I making in people's lives? You know, what am I really here to do? You know, what I say number one is just get reconnected to that daily if you can. Just sit down and it takes 2 minutes. You just write down, you know, why am I in the game? You know, what put me here? You know, whose life, I mean, this is a great one, is ask, just look at your track record, especially if you've been doing this for a while, and look at somebody's life who you really, really changed everything for them, you know, and just think about that person, you know, and it really does help you congruent and to sometimes to have the persistence that it takes to go back when somebody says no and say, you know what, man, I know you said no, but you know what? I talked to my client, Jesse, you know, 2 years ago, and he's told me the same thing. But, you know, you can say that kind of just saying the words, but if you're actually saying it, connect to that purpose, you know, connect to that guy's story that you changed, you know, people can feel it, and they act on it. So I'd say number one is get connected to your purpose. Number two is realize nobody buys things for your reasons. You know, just dig for their reasons, connect with them, dig for their reasons. And if you can get connected to your own reason of why you're in the game and get connected to their reason why they're going to buy from you, you know, why is it worth it for them, you know, to give you the money to, you know, exchange for your service or product. You know, I mean, that's, you know, if really getting in touch with both of those things, I really believe, you know, the power of purposes is beyond, you know, what we can even fathom.
Yeah, those are, I think, excellent comments. All right, well, Jonathan, I appreciate you taking the time today. Your book's called Unlimited Influence. I know it's available on Amazon.com. It's probably available on your website if you want to give any details on how people can contact you there, Jonathan.
Absolutely. Well, a great way that people can get in touch with me is they can go onto my site, theclosingmentor.com. I do want to warn you, there is a little bit of, you know, strong language. Most of my clients are male, and they're pretty aggressive, so you will see a little bit of strong language there. So if that's, you know, just keep the kids off, you know, if you're worried about language. But yes, my book is available on our site. It's discounted quite a bit from what it is on Amazon, so if you guys want to get it there, I can get it to you for much cheaper. And also, I did want to tell you something, Mark, is that for today, I'm doing something for all your listeners. I'm making my book available for free on the Kindle version of it. So if they want to get on Amazon today, they can download the Kindle version gratis just on me, just for you know, a way to get back for their time and energy listening. So.
All right. Now, how'd they reach out to you on doing that?
They could just go directly to Amazon and type in Unlimited Influence, and the Kindle version will be there for free.
All right, cool. All right, well, I appreciate you coming on today and sharing some of your knowledge and experiences here. And thanks again for being here. And next week, Mark will be back in the office, and we'll be announcing next week's show in the newsletter. Again, you can always sign up for the newsletter at kqslawyers.com, also on Mark's website, markjkohler.com. This is Matt Sorensen. I am your substitute host today for Mark. I appreciate the opportunity always to substitute for Mark when he is out of the office. And thanks for listening in today, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.